Okay, welcome back to Butler on Business. The Dow is down 216 points. The S&P is down 21, or 1.67%. Jason, would you please introduce Mickey?
We are now on the phone, Alan, with Mickey Fulp. He's a certified professional geologist and mining analyst for Mercenary Geologists. He is an analyst and writer. He covers rare earth metals, rare earth elements in that sector, and wanted to talk to him today about the commodity markets that we're seeing today, Alan.
Mickey, welcome to Butler on Business. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Alan. Thanks.
I've been reading a lot about these rare earth minerals. Would you please explain to our listeners what we're talking about?
Well, rare earth elements comprise 17 elements. If you remember your high school chemistry, they're kind of on a road near the bottom of the periodic table. China controls 97% of the world's supply and has instituted export quotas and export taxes, and they're basically making it very difficult for supplies to reach the Western world. So there's been a great movement for the last couple of years in North America to try to develop our own supplies.
Now, what are these used for? What sort of products?
They're used in high-tech applications, military defense applications, hybrid cars, wind turbines, so a lot of new technology sorts of things, and they are essential to make those sorts of discretionary items function in the most efficient manner. And the big push right now is for permanent magnets for wind turbines and hybrid cars.
Now, I think I read they found a bunch of this stuff over in Afghanistan recently as well.
No, that's not quite correct. That was lithium, and lithium is not a rare earth element. There's a lot of confusion out there. Lithium is right at the top of the periodic table, number three. So lithium doesn't count in this game. Lithium has had a lot of promotion, which I don't quite buy into, for lithium ion batteries, for especially hybrid cars. But current technology favors lanthanum nickel hydride batteries, and lanthanum is a rare earth. It's quite confusing to the lay investor, and sometimes experts even get it wrong.
Now, China comes by this stuff naturally. I mean, it's indigenous to their geographical region, isn't it?
It is, but it's also indigenous to North America's geology, too. The world's supply was basically controlled by Molycorp at their Mountain Pass mine from 1953 until the early 1990s, when the Chinese cut prices and forced Molycorp out of business. So we have plenty of supplies in the U.S. There are big deposits in Canada, and it just becomes a matter in time until those things can be developed into mines, and we'll be okay. But in the interim 5 years here, there's going to be a supply crunch, and it has led to phenomenal speculation and valuations of some of the companies, especially the ones listed on the MX exchange.
Mickey, back in February, I saw on Fox Business that you were actually calling for an overall market correction in the areas of some of the hard commodities, like copper and gold in particular. That certainly seemed to play out a little bit here. Now, what's your medium to long-term outlook for some of the hard commodities?
Well, I think that we're still within a corrective time. I think corrections are good for the markets. Markets tend to get way ahead of themselves. Things go way up too high, and then they swing back down too low, kind of a pendulum sort of phenomena. Copper's down 9%. It's down to about $4. I'm fairly comfortable with copper at $4, but worldwide inventories are still at 90% of five-year highs. Chinese demand, which has fueled this, is declining. China's starting work off stockpiles and declining imports. I think the copper price is being held up right now by a new physical copper ETF that's come on the market in the last couple of months.
I used to buy a lot of copper and some stuff we were making, but I got out of that business in 2000. I sold it, but it was around, $1.60? We used to think it was, I always loved looking at it. It was pretty coming through the machines, but we thought $1.60 was high.
Well, in terms of constant dollars, it was high. So you got to look at the devaluation of the dollar in all fiat currencies. You know, I was looking at your website, and I think we're like-minded individuals there, Alan.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. We try to be. But having said that, since you wandered into the monetary aspect of this, you know, I'd always heard that copper was the metal with a PhD in economics.
Mm-hmm.
And you could watch copper to kind of get an idea what was going on with the economy. But hasn't, in addition to the run-up in demand from the emerging markets, isn't a lot of what we've seen in copper, gold, and silver just the destruction of the dollar?
Well, certainly it is, and your point's well taken there. But I'll also say, look at the chart. You can go back to a five-year chart or a one-year chart, whichever one you really want to. Look at a chart of the copper price and the S&P 500. I think you will see a very strong correlation.
What is the ticker symbol for that ETF for copper?
You know, I can't come up with that right now. I was doing my homework before I talked to you, but I didn't quite get that far. So we'll have to leave it to the listeners, or perhaps you can. I'll come up with that later on today, Alan, and send you an email. How's that sound?
Okay. It wouldn't surprise me if it was CU or something like that.
Well, Global X has a copper miner ETF that's COPX.
Yeah, but now he's talking about the actual base metal.
Yeah, this is actually there have been copper ETF-based ETFs, but this one actually holds physical copper, and I think that's really skewed the market. We saw the same phenomenon when the gold ETF was launched about, 8 years ago or something, silver, and then platinum, palladium ETFs have come on the last couple of 3 years. I think those ETFs skew the market to the upside.
Well, now, how can people benefit from your expertise? What service do you offer these people?
Well, I have a free subscription service. I run a newsletter. I have a website, mercenarygeologist.com. All you got to do is go to the website and click on a banner right below my mugshot, and you get all my products. As I've already alluded to, I'm a libertarian, and I write about macroeconomics and commodity supply and demand. And I also pick stocks in the junior resource sector that are listed generally on the Toronto Exchange. And well, we've picked 17 stocks in the last 2.5 years since I launched my business with a criteria they double in 12 months or less, and we're 16 of 17 of that right now. So pretty good track record. But I have to say, Alan, you can't ever confuse your brain for a bull market. And it has been a bull market for commodities.
Now, do you involve yourself in the oil market at all? I mean, do you at least pay attention to it?
Absolutely, and it's quite amazing what's going on today. We picked a good day to do this.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring that up. You have both the U.S. and the IEA both releasing oil today. You think something's up over there? And then Israel is in the middle of some exercise. You think something's up that we don't know about?
Well, I think there's a message being sent, but I really think this is a political move. When you look, the U.S. is going to release 30 million barrels. That's less than a day and a half supply, and that comes from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and that 30 million barrels is only 4% of the reserve. You know, we're getting mixed signals from the Obama administration. Yesterday, Obama opposes a Alaska drill permit bill, and then today we have this release of strategic reserve. Even Jeff Bingaman, chairman of the Senate Energy Committee, is questioning the timing. It looks just like a political move to me, but it has done what it was probably supposed to do, which is driven the oil price down by about $5 a day.
Well, you know, Obama lately has been feeling our pain on these oil prices, but the thing I like to point out is he actually campaigned for high oil prices. I mean, he's a big fan of raising the price of energy here in an effort to drive us into his green jobs.
Yeah, well, we'll see how well that works. I as you probably gather, I'm not a real Obama fan, but the one thing that has come out of his green initiative is a commitment to nuclear energy, and nuclear energy, in my opinion, is the future for the world. Uranium, although it's gotten knocked down by Fukushima, the uranium supply demand demand fundamentals are still very strong, and I'm a very big fan of nuclear energy, and I've written extensively and spoken extensively about that. That's all available on my website.
And
so
tell
there's
us
another plug.
Which is mercenarygeologist.com.
That's correct.
All right, now let me ask you, we've had this pullback that you called for in advance of the actual pullback, but from what I've done, and I'm certainly not an expert in the field, but don't you think we're still in a secular bull market for the commodities and we're just looking at a healthy correction?
Absolutely, and within any secular bull market, we're going to have corrections and corrections, as I've alluded to before. Very good for the market. The thing that could damage the secular bull market for commodities, and like you, I'm very committed to that idea, is food inflation and food riots. We saw that take down two governments in the Middle East. Two oppressive regimes fell in the late winter and early spring because of food riots and food inflation. The real danger here is that could spread to Eastern Asia, and that could kill the commodities market. If food riots spread to Indonesia, China, India, those economies are going to have to cool off. Government policies will cool them off. If that happens, that could at least temporarily correct or cause a dip in what we view as a secular bull market in commodities.
All right, mercenarygeologist.com. Mickey, we'd love to have you on again.
Well, I'd love to do it again, Alan. This has been lots of fun.
Well, we'll call you maybe every couple of weeks. You can come in and tell us about these rare earth minerals. Or you're calling them elements.
Rare earth elements, yes. And we can get deeper into that next time. I would look forward to that.
Well, I had read some stuff that China was actually exploiting their current position and could wreak havoc on the U.S. economy with this embargo they've got going on.
Well, it certainly is doing damage right now. The rare earth elements have reached phenomenal valuations, not only for exports but within China. But there's also, I have to tell you, there's big speculation and hoarding going on amongst the rich businessmen in China right now. So this is a bit of a house of cards. So if you're playing these stocks, they've gone up phenomenally. I think you need to be careful. You know, you don't buy them when they're on the uptick, and they go through cyclical phases where they'll be. And we've just gone through a downtick on the rare earth sector. Lost 30% of valuations, and now it looks like that's turning around. But those downticks become buying opportunities. I'm a contrarian, and I'm always buying when everybody else is selling.
That's when you make your money. Mickey, I appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you very much, Alan. It's been a real pleasure.
It's been a real pleasure having you. This is Alan Butler, Butler on Business, and we'll be back in a moment.